Jack on birth control and are we on?
We're on.
I'll edit that part out too with the comments.
let's talk about Jack.
let's don't.
Yeah, I don't ever want those kids.
I will say this much. And you can attest to this. This nice lady here, her grandchildren had autism, and it was fairly severe. And I had them taken into the light while they were sleeping, washed by Christed light and Christed truth, and then brought back and completely reinstituted and sealed into their bodies. They no longer have autism. They're totally normal.
Mm-hmm. So I read a study some time back. I don't know if I have an opportunity to tell you this, but they were saying they're attributing pepitosin, which is the drug you give to make you go into labor, and autism.
Really?
And if you think about the psychological part of that baby wasn't ready to come, but they were forcing it.
That is a very good, strong possibility. I wouldn't be the drug itself. It would be the forcing of the time frame.
Spiritually, that sounds totally logical.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. All I know is not all forms. I don't think they really, they throw everything kind of in a lump.
Right.
But true autism can be taken care of with that particular prayer. It's on the web page.
No.
I've dealt with one young man. He was 21. He was in Alexander Children's Home. And he was considered never to be out on his own. And 2 weeks later, he was out.
And Asperger's,
it doesn't work with the Asperger's. No.
Because it's not true autism.
Right.
They just lump it in with autism because there's nowhere else to put it.
Well, yeah, it's close. They think it's a similarity affecting a different part of the brain. But the fact is, I don't really think it's not an autism. A true autism can be taken care of very simply.
I think a lot of the cause is vaccines.
I know what you're thinking. Yeah. And I thought that too.
Mercury,
I thought that too.
Yeah.
But
the Amish community has zero autism because they don't do.
Again, autism, true autism, is caused by the soul not fully being instituted into the body. It's partially in and partially out.
So the Amish probably don't ever use.
They probably don't force births.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's not the actual chemical, it's the soul. Because what I did with her grandchildren was I had them, their souls, resealed into their body, reinstituted and sealed into their bodies. The next day, they were normal.
Normal. I mean, crazy. It was crazy time before.
Mm-hmm.
Normal the next day. I mean, I'm just chill talking about it. It was pretty phenomenal. And now, I mean, they're first.
They're so loving. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How old is she now?
It's permanent.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, and she's getting these raving reports from school. Her teachers noticed it immediately. And so she gets these raving reports now of how sociable she is and how proud they are of how much strides she's made this year. I mean, and all her testing. I mean, they're both very smart children. It's just a miracle. It is, and I've told people.
It's hard for them to comprehend.
It is. I mean, it's hard to tell. You know, but I myself have tried anything to tell.
Well, I've done this with a number of children, but they have to have true autism.
Right.
And they all, when they are, the next day, they're completely normal.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
We just thought it was going to go away, and we just got,
No, it's permanent. 100% permanent.
I've got a question.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as manifesting, having an intent of what you want to manifest, declaring that intent, affirmations of having it. Consciously, you can make these affirmations. You can see yourself in that situation and being present with that. But what if subconsciously you doubt?
It won't work.
It won't work. What do you do?
I don't do it that way. Well. I wanted a $10,000 cushion. I've said this before, but we'll put it out there one more time, and then it's on the web page, maybe.
It is.
Okay. I asked for a $10,000 cushion. I said, God, I would like to have a $10,000 cushion. 2 months later, I got a $10,000 cushion in my account that just showed up. I went, oh.
This is definitely worse.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, this works. And so I said, okay, God, I would like to have a $20,000 cushion. 2 months later, nothing changed around me, okay? I had a $20,000 cushion. I said, I think the IRS is going to listen to this.
Maybe edit this part out.
You're going to edit this. It's already on there. So I said,
don't
God. I'd like to have a $30,000 cushion. 2 months later, I had a $30,000 cushion. I went, oh, my God. What am I going to do with this?
It went away.
You know, I did believe it. I mean, I had no doubts or anything, and I didn't anguish myself with where was it going to come from and how is it going to get there. I just made my statement, that was that, and it showed up. I made my statement, that was that, it showed up. So I went, okay, I've got this money. I think I'm going to go ahead. I call my daughter. I'm going to go ahead and pay off your school loans, your student loans.
That's what you think you're supposed to do.
And my daughter says, really? I said, yeah, I've got this money, and I think it would help you. So, Carol, who works with me, says to me, she looks at my accounts and so forth. She handles my bookkeeping and all that. She said, Carol, what did you do? I said, what do you mean, what'd I do? She said, the money's disappearing out of your account. What? She says, disappearing. What did you do? I went, guys, what did I do? They said, if you do not feel worthy of the blessings that you asked God for, they go away. And I went, really? You mean I can't give this away? I can't help other people with it? They said, everyone can ask for their own blessings. I went, okay. I called my daughter. I said, honey, I hate telling you this. She said, never mind, Mom. She said, my guides already told me that if you don't feel worthy of your blessings and you give your blessings away, they go away. They already explained it to me. Oh, thank you.
So now I must take note that you asked God.
God.
So you went straight to the source.
I went straight to the source on that one.
So when it comes to money and financial issues, you just talk to the source.
You go to the CEO.
CEO.
That's the money man.
Yeah.
So all I know is whenever I wanted anything, I would just say, I would like such and such. Okay? It's basically, or I wish for. I would do that. and it'd be there.
But if you really don't feel worthy of what you're asking for, it won't happen.
You'll sabotage. You will sabotage yourself.
See, and that's where I'm talking about the subconscious, because at subconscious level, if you don't feel worthy for it, then.
Well, I can't tell you that I felt particularly worthy. But I went to source. You can ask your guides to help you. But if you're just doing it for yourself and you're trying to manifest out of self, if you don't have self-esteem, if you don't really, if you're self-sabotaging, you will not get it.
Well, doubt, self-sabotage, would that be okay?
Well,
you're just asking.
Well, that's the reason I ask. I have no doubts with God.
Yes.
Okay, I just don't have any doubts. Now, if it were me trying to manifest it on my own, I might mess myself over because I didn't feel worthy of the 30.
So, what can you spend it on?
Anything
yourself.
You want.
For you.
For you.
So you could buy your house, your car.
Pay off your bills.
Okay.
Whatever you want to do, you're allowed to do that. But you cannot give it away.
Interesting.
Now, I've taught other people to do that, and they got their 10,000.
Mm-hmm. Then they got scared and it went away.
Well, they quit asking.
What if you just bump it up to 100 and say, you know, start there?
You can try. It's better to start lower.
Okay.
It's a building of faith.
Gotcha.
Once again, I think that's coming back to the subconscious. Subconscious, if it's not believable to you, then...
If you don't believe in God, you can't ask for it. If you believe in God and you have faith in God, even though you don't have faith in yourself, you can ask for it. Which will actually build your faith. We're not here to be perfect.
Be careful how you speak of money, too, or
it'll go away. Well, money is just money. It's not... It's a means in a way. It's bartering. It's pieces of paper with pictures on it. And a lot of color nowadays.
So,
you know, it's funny money. But in truth, you can ask for anything. I wanted to go to Egypt. Bam, I go to Egypt. I want to go to China. Bam, I go to China.
That's just pretty
all expenses funny. Paid. Best way.
So it just came
in. Yeah. I wanted to go to Japan.
2 weeks.
Bam, I go to Japan. And got paid. That's
and
a nice thing. Yeah. Yeah, that was in China.
Oh, I thought it was Japan.
No, that was in China. When I filmed in China. So yeah, you can have anything you want. There's nothing that is denied you by God.
You have to get out of your own way.
Yeah, you have to get out of your own way. Because we self-deny all the time.
Does it sound greedy?
Well, it depends.
Society.
It depends. It depends on whose society and what you think is greed. Most people think that self-nurturing is selfishness, and it's not. Selfishness is, that's cutting somebody else's throat to get what you want. Taking care of yourself is okay, you're allowed. You're supposed to. You're the only one you have. You don't have anybody else, except for maybe a child, that you have to take care of. What?
Backtrack on you just a second. You said when you traveled around and did different things like that, in any one of those places, did you run across past lives where you picked up gifts?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. Every place that I've ever been drawn to, with the exception of China, I picked up something there, but it wasn't a gift. It was an entity.
It's another story.
Everyone's brain's going like this.
Mine went straight to the gutter.
I'm telling you. But every place that I've ever truly been drawn to or wanted to go to as a kid, when I got there, I picked up gifts, bits and pieces of myself from past lives that I had left there. And it was amazing. Sometimes you could pick up traumas from there, too. It can be a little bit dangerous sometimes. That's why whenever I travel, I always try to recognize what part of the body represents what and how to work with it and how to do the tapping and all that kind of information, because you never know what you're going to run into. It might have been a place where you had maybe a really traumatic death or an injury or something. And all of a sudden, your body remembers that because your soul remembers that. And all of a sudden, you've got the injury again. Mm-hmm. It's kind of wild. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you can pick up gifts. When I went to Japan, I picked up amazing gifts. Just amazing gifts, particularly in healing. I got the gift. This is going to sound really weird. Nah, nothing I say sounds weird. It's all absolutely normal. I could see the energy of gold.
Oh, how cool.
It waves. It's kind of like heat on.
Really?
No.
Gerald, do you want to go up to the Sierras with me?
I've done the Sierras. Thank you very much. I know. Go.
Yeah.
Well, I went to the stream. We had to pan for gold. So I went to the stream, and there were these waves above the water. And it was like that. And I went, there's the gold. And I took my little pan, dipped it down in there. There were the gold. There was the gold. I said, do I get to keep this? I said, no, ma'am.
Why not?
I don't know. They wouldn't let me. They wouldn't let me keep it.
Who's that?
Tokyo Broadcasting System Stream. That's who I was working with.
Shoot.
Yeah.
I would have given it to James.
But, yeah, but I got the gift after going to Japan. Before then, I didn't have it. Yeah, how'd I get that gift? I got it given to me by a big, gigantic mountain nature spirit.
You saw it?
I heard him. Couldn't see him. I told him, everything in Japan speaks. Everything in Japan is very alive, has tremendous consciousness because they worship nature there for so long. They've turned their nature spirits into gods. Now, the people there don't now any longer, but Shinto belief systems made everything gods, so the nature spirits there think they're gods. So I went to this one mountain, and the guardian of the treasures wanted to know what I was there. Was I there to get the gold? I said, I'm not here to get your gold. You're not here to get my gold? No, I'm not here to get your gold. I'm amazed he didn't speak in Japanese. Anyway, he said, since you're not here to get my gold and you are respectful, I now give you the gift of being able to see where gold is.
Wow.
Well, thank you. Which was kind of cool. I know it sounds a little weird, but that's okay.
No, it doesn't sound weird to me.
Did you have to work through any past lives in different places? That was one example, but in other places, did you have to work through past lives before you were able to pick up those gifts?
No, not entirely. I didn't. Actually, I got that gift before I recognized that I had a past life in Japan. When I did, I had a past life in Japan as a Shinto priest, female.
Wow.
Monk, actually, not priest, monk. And I went to Nikko.
Yes.
And it was my priest, my monks that I had trained were the guardians of the shogun gold. They gave their lives up to protect the gold, which is what we were doing the show about, was locating the Shogun gold. And when I went to Nikko, I got back all of those gifts that I had as that monk.
Oh, wow.
And I was shown where I actually did live there, was there, the name of the priest, monks. Sorry. And it was amazing. It was just absolutely mind-boggling. I've got photographs of some of that.
Did they take the gold? Did you find it?
I did locate the area of the gold. But they said before, the nature spirits told me that before they would be allowed to remove the gold, they were going to fight them, and they would there would be a catastrophe that would take place if they tried to dig up the gold. You can call upon them. There was a gigantic earthquake. It was one of the biggest in Japan, where the gold was, when they tried digging for it, when they tried opening the area. Not really. I haven't heard very much about it. I know it's still leaking. Yeah, it's going to get bad. It's not bad yet. It's going to get bad. Going to take that.
It's coming into my construction. Yeah,
is it finally?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay, we were going to talk briefly about guides. You got me out there in my memories. Okay, how do you hear guides? Number one, guides speak from the right side, internally in your head. But you can feel it literally coming from the right side. Dark side comes from the left side. Sometimes it's outside, sometimes it's inside your head. Your guides give you information, knowledge, truth. To distinguish the difference between your thoughts and their voices, you ask them to, you ask spiritual questions, because they're not going to talk to you if you're just going to. You have to ask them spiritual questions. Ask them to give you a word that you have to look up in the dictionary that carries the essence of what they are telling you.
When you say right side, is it just right hemisphere or anywhere on the right side?
Right side. Mm-hmm. Right hemisphere.
In the top, so anywhere from the top.
Yeah, it's kind of like, sometimes it'll be like this, sometimes it's this way. When it's major knowledge, sometimes you feel it just, you feel a buzz. Thank you. You get a buzz. It just, you feel buzzed.
Which, did you say dark on the left?
Dark on the left. Always. 100%.
Doesn't matter if you're
left-handed. Doesn't matter if you're left-handed. How do you like the peach? Yeah, isn't that neat? Liz. You missed out. Sorry, I have to play from time to time. A little psychic humor here. Okay. Now, you will develop an ability to tell the difference between their voices in your head and your own thinking. When you think about things, you just think about, darn, I should have done this. You think in your term, as yourself. I'm just not looking that great today. As opposed to dark side that says, you're fat. Nobody likes you. You're really ugly today. Don't look in the mirror. Okay, that's dark side. Always negative, condemning. Look, they're talking about you. Do you see them over there? You're not dressed right. That's dark side. Guides, they don't say things of that nature. They don't say, oh, you look fine today. Or how pretty you are today. Or what a good job you did. Look how spiritual you are. No, they don't do that. They give you pure information. Okay? Now, you may have a male guide, you may have a female guide, you may have both. You have a minimum of three who can call upon any guides that you ever need for any purpose. Okay?
You gave me an exercise today with the Bible.
Yes. Oh, there is a prayer that you really, if you really want to do this right, you need to say the prayer, which is in my book. And I think it's on, is it on the web page as well? Please give me wisdom, understanding, and knowledge.
I'm almost sure that's there. I seem to remember typing that in.
Okay. Please give me wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. I'm ready to take the responsibility, which is huge. I'm ready to be guided.
And then watch out.
Yeah, hang on.
Because you will get a response.
Yeah.
Get your flight vest and Kevlar on.
I'm ready to accept the
responsibility. I'm ready to be guided. The responsibility means you must listen and you must obey. And you must take personal responsibility.
Can you just say that once?
One time.
Forever.
Forever.
Raise our right hand and repeat after you.
You laugh, Liz. It'll work.
No, I'm not laughing. I'm like, I'm ready. Right now. Let's do it.
Are you ready to take the responsibilities? Because sometimes it can get a little heavy.
Dicey.
Yeah, it can get dicey.
You're real dicey.
Oh, no, nothing like
that. Nothing like that.
I can attest to the fact that...
I'm telling you, when they told me to say that prayer, my guides gave me the prayer, okay? When they told me to do this, they said, really, really take responsibility. Look at what you're saying. Look at what you're asking. It's very important. So I waited 24 hours, and I really weighed the responsibility of the knowledge. It's a responsibility of knowledge.
So, like, give us an example of what's so scary and hairy.
Well, when you're given knowledge, you have to act on that knowledge. You can't just tuck it away in a closet somewhere. You have to actively use that knowledge. You don't ask for stuff that you don't use. Okay? Sometimes it means that you have to tell the truth to someone that you really don't want to tell the truth to.
Or give them a message that you don't want to deliver.
Or give them a message, yeah.
Or change something in yourself that you really didn't think needed changing.
Yep. There's all sorts of responsibilities that come into play. You can't keep being a jerk. If you find out you've been a jerk. Well, the jerk. You try and talk them out of it?
just know what you're getting into before you do it. I don't have any regrets about it, but it's also been an interesting 4 or 5 months, hasn't it?
The path is not an easy path, but it will make your life valuable in so many ways. It's well worth it. That's what you're here for. You don't have to, though. You can, you know, just bum around. If you choose to, it's okay.
There are a lot of people that choose that.
There are, and it's okay. But if you really do want the growth and you want the involvement, I suggest you do this. Because your best teachers are your guides. They taught me everything I know. I didn't get it out of a book.
So the darkness never can creep in the right side.
No, they cannot.
Darkness that creeps in your left side. Is that when you call on Michael?
That's when you command it away in the name of Jesus Christ. That's when you take up your authority under Christ. Now, we're not talking religion. Okay? Huge difference here. We are talking spirituality. Christ did what it took to gain the authority over the dark side. We use the name of Jesus Christ because that's where the authority comes from. they recognize that authority. And if you take that authority, you are part of that authority. And in essence, you become Christed. You're not Jesus Christ, but you become Christed through the authority.
So what holds people back from that?
They don't know about it.
They don't know how.
Well, I think religion has done a real number on people. And you know...
What has done a number?
Religion.
Oh. Okay.
It's done a number on... I mean, people are just... You mentioned... I've talked to people and I'll do the lifting and they'll say, well, that's all religious. I said, no, it's not religious. It's spiritual.
It's truth.
It's Christianity, isn't it? And I said, kind of, but it's really not religion. It's truth. It works. And something works every single time. You can't throw it out because somebody made a religion out of it. No, I'm not sure where you're coming from with that.
Liz says, why don't people use the authority of Jesus Christ, let's say, in certain situations? If they don't invoke the authority of Jesus,
oh, okay.
Then it's their free will.
Yes.
Not to.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people just don't know. Some's taught in the churches. It depends upon which church, which religion, and some isn't. I mean, I'm a church. I just don't have any real dogmas.
I think the word church is misused too, because church, the origin of the word church, is a spiritual word. I read this recently that church is, I wish I could remember, but it was like the human race has taken the word church and scared people with it.
They beat them over the head with it.
Yeah.
Well, church didn't evolve until Christianity. There was always, it was temple. Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it really evolved until much later down the road.
Constantine basically started the concept of church.
Yes.
It was more of a political...
Yeah.
I mean,
it was,
and I think, talking just like from history books, it was more of a political move because of the shape of the Roman Empire.
Constantine.
Whether he was a Christian or believed in Jesus or not, who knows? But, I mean, he did...
It was a political movement. It was a political movement. Yeah.
It's a way to control.
That's okay. But the concept of Christ stands on its own. Thank you. And the authority is there. If you want to accept it, you can. If you don't choose to accept it, it's okay. You're not going to go to hell for it.
The exercise that you gave me, because I was so lamenting about not hearing my guides, you told me to just take a Bible and ask my guides to show me what they wanted me to see in the name of Jesus Christ. And when I opened it, I was to read the whole chapter. And I have found incredible wisdom.
You take the Bible, you say, is there a message that I need? You open the Bible at random. You open it at random. The first chapter that you see that you're drawn to, you read the entire chapter and ask your guides to make it clear to you what the message is, and then ask them spiritual questions afterwards, and they can then start talking to you. I've had talks up to an hour with my guides.
Are you verbalizing this out loud, or is it just all?
I verbalize everything out loud. Yeah, they tell me that it is stronger. It carries the energy and the frequency. Words carry energy and frequency.
Yeah.
is power in the word. It's the spoken word. It's not a mental thing.
Now, can they hear you, though, if it's a mental thing? I mean, if you, it's like you're in a place where it's just not right to...
Your guides are in your head. Yes, yes, they can hear you. But if you don't care enough to speak it, and you don't, if you don't carry enough authority in your own mind to not be embarrassed by other people, it might not happen.
Or do it by yourself.
Go off by yourself, whatever you think you need to do. I've gone to Walmart, and I had to talk to the checkout woman and do a lifting on her before I could proceed. Now, the wild thing about this is everything stopped. I did what I needed to do with her. No one, it just like, people were just averted, their gaze and everything, they were averted. And then after I did it, everything went right back to normal, checked out. Renee's seen that sort of thing with me.
I've seen that.
It's pretty cool.
It gets wild sometimes. I was at a restaurant, and the busboy, it was a full restaurant, the busboy, I'm not talking about the one in Greece either, the busboy, or Crete, I called him over, and I said, "You come over here, please." He said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "You've got to stop worrying about your mother. She's not going to die. Everything's going to be fine." Everything stopped. He goes, "Thank you, thank you. I was so afraid she was going to die. She's been so sick." I said, "She's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. God's looking after you. He's looking after your mother." And then everything went back to normal. He went back to busing, and that was the end of it.
So you've got a minimum of three guys.
Yeah.
Do they have names?
They do. You can ask them what their names are. The problem is sometimes they'll tell you and sometimes they won't, because they don't want you to ever, as they told me, ever place them before God.
They're for information, not for worship.
How would knowing their names place them before
God? I don't know. That's just what they told you. Ask them. Yeah. You ask them.
I will ask them later. Next time I talk to them.
Yeah.
I don't understand that, but I don't necessarily need to. It's just curious.
Some people personalize them, they become dependent on them.
Yeah, exactly.
I did it. I became very dependent. My guide spoon-fed me. I mean, babied me. Oh, God, it was wonderful. I did too. And then all of a sudden, they were gone. I went, "Hello? Is anyone out there?" Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, the guides, when they do come in, they come in sometimes with sparkly light. It's like sparks in the air, sparks. You've seen them? Okay. Sometimes they come like white mist. Okay. And very often they come in with the scent of either floral. Mm-hmm. Mine come in with sandalwood incense smell. And everyone can smell them. It's not just me. Well, all of that was gone. For 2 weeks, they abandoned me.
Oh.
And I was all by myself. And I was like, "Well, what do I do now?" You know, I was getting them, they were dressing me practically in the morning, you know. Well, I said, "Well, have you, what do I do? Nothing, absolutely nothing. So I go, "Okay, all right, okay, I'm on my own. I'm just going to have to make it in this world by myself. It's going to be all right. I can do this." And I'm sitting with some people, and all of a sudden, here comes the smell of incense. Just sweeps in, everybody going, "Where is that smell coming from?" I said, "Oh, thank you, God, my guides are back." They told me, they said, "You got too dependent." You cannot become too dependent. You have to use your free will. We babied you. They did the kindergarten to first grade, you know, all the way to eighth grade, up to high school, and dumped me. Now they said you're going to college. You have to use your own free will. Nobody's going to tell you what to do or how to do it. You have to ask all the questions. Okay. That's what I did. It's well worth it. It is well worth it. I had a friend. I taught him how to do this, how to make contact with his guides. He came back and said, there's nothing practical to gain from my guides, so I'm not going to talk to them anymore.
Practical for what?
Business?
I think he wanted to use them for money.
Oh, boy.
I really do. He really
didn't
get
it.
No! And it was gone. He lost everything. He lost everything.
Now, have you ever told your guides that you just don't really want to talk to them right then?
Yes.
What happens then?
Well, I learned not to say it real strong, okay? Because when they're babying you, and if you do this, you'll go through some of this, there'll be times when it's like they take off the top of your head and pour information into you. And it can go on for days.
And you're a complete goose.
Yeah, you're just, you know. So what I've learned to do during that time frame, I don't do it anymore because they don't do that per se anymore. There are levels that you'll go through with your guides, by the way, that I would say, please, please give me like 72 hours. I need some downtime. I need to be able to get all of this that you've given me so that I can work with it and I can absorb it. So give me like 72 hours. Precisely 72 hours. Head opens up. Information starts pouring in again. Okay, guys. All right. Okay. Maybe I need like maybe, you know, a week or something. Oh, all right, 3 days. So 4 days, 5 days. Can we do like 5 days? They're gone. Mm-hmm. 5 days later, head comes off, information comes in.
You
can't forget it. It's absorbed thoroughly into every cell of your body.
Information
it's huge information. There's stuff that I still don't have in my consciousness because I haven't needed that particular information.
Tell us, like, one piece of information that you would have fought on your own?
Which one? Okay.
Listen to
all of it. Absolutely all of it. A scientist, I went to a conference, and this scientist from Germany asked me to ask my guides about DNA and how it functioned. This is in the early years of DNA and all that good stuff. And, you know, around the time of Simpson. You know, OJ.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know what you were talking about.
And during that time, I said, okay, I'll ask my guides about it. And I asked my guides about it, and they knocked me down. I mean, it was 3 hours of just consistent information, 3 full hours. And
you
I was
could
like,
remember it to recite it back.
I did remember it to recite it back. I did. And they went into DNA, how it functioned, how every single thing had DNA in it, that everything had amazingly similar DNA. They were just, and I told him which was the differentials and how it worked, and that there was DNA throughout the universes. There were strands of DNA universally. Every planet had its particular DNA. I mean, all this information.
This is John Ford.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I can't remember all of it because it was pertinent to him. It's all there, but it was pertinent to him. Your guides have the entire knowledge of the universe, of God, of how everything works. You are a hologram of God, of the universe, and how everything works. Got it? That's what makes everyone special. There is no one that is less special than anybody else. It's how you choose to see yourself and the limitations that you put on yourself or that you allow others to put on you. Everyone kind of understand? Good, because we're going to shut her down.